Are the New Testament Gospels reliable historical documents? How can a loving God allow evil in the world? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Making the Case for Christianity, Responding to Modern Objections. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Making the Case for Christianity.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
When we think about that, and it's a loaded term, and when we say loaded, we mean loaded with all the wrong stuff most of the time. That term mission, especially as Christians, we hear that term, and what do you think? When I say missionary or missions, you think, I can guarantee you what you're thinking. You're thinking foreign missions. You're thinking some distant place from where we are, dirt roads, maybe primitive kind of living conditions, lots of medical needs and problems. It's far away. The language is foreign. The people are different. The culture is entirely different. Now, that could be foreign missions or the edge of the mission field. It might also be where Christians are sending missionaries from to us. Did you realize that this is actually happening now, that the places in the world that used to be considered the edge of the mission field are now Christianized, and Christians, missionaries from them, are coming to us? The United States, the Western world, Western Europe especially, is actually considered the new edge of the mission field. So what is the mission of the church? Does the mission give birth to the church, or the church to the mission? How do we answer that question? Joining us for the next half hour of Issues Etc., Dr. Scott Murray. Will talk about the church and its missions a little bit later. The problem of evil. Now, you can join us 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Scott Murray is a regular guest here on Issues Etc. He's pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. He's fourth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of an article in a new journal of Lutheran mission titled Missio Dei. Scott, welcome back.
It's a pleasure to be on with you again, Todd.
Well, I don't know if you've been in Houston for 30 years, but I know you've been a parish pastor for 30 years, and yet you say that you've been a missionary for 30 years, and most people would picture you standing outside some kind of a grass hut in short pants and some kind of pith helmet. How do you say you're a missionary?
Right. Well, I mean, first of all, the picture you paint's rather ugly, I must say, but... Me in shorts and a pith helmet, that's terrifying. What pastor isn't a missionary? Hasn't our Lord said, go into all the world? Well, so does that exclude exactly your own neighborhood? I mean, you have to begin in Jerusalem, so to speak. And I do think it's been an unfortunate misuse of the word mission that got tied down exclusively to people, you know, getting on boats and going to Africa for a career. That's mission. What I'm doing, that's not mission. Well, this certainly misses, the command of Christ that all people need to hear the message of the love of God through the death of Jesus of Nazareth. And the other part to that, of course, is I'm an urban pastor, so I mean, I'm in the urban jungle doing mission work. The other part to it, of course, is we're now living in an increasingly paganized Western society, and so the need for reaching out to people who have jettisoned, you know, any Christian faith at all is very significant. I mean, we have the book about the nuns, and of course, we're not talking about Roman Catholic nuns, but the folks who espouse, you know, no religion at all when asked. And yet, some large portion of those people are still searching spiritually, and yet really are functionally pagan. You know, so they're a great opportunity or field for us to deliver the answer to the question. They feel the question, but they don't know what the answer is. And I think we've got a great opportunity in the urban jungle to do that kind of ministry, because people do feel alienated and empty and separated from their community. And of course, a lot of the solution that our Lord brings to our human problem is, in fact, true fellowship with Him and therefore with one another. So all those things, I think, play into the daily mission of the church. Oh, and the other thing that has to be said, of course, is that, you know, missionaries are people who know the Word of God and share it with people in need. Well, who does that leave out? Well, it doesn't leave out anybody. A child can do this. I remember my children running kiddo VBS on the front lawn of our home when we first moved to Houston, sharing their faith in Jesus with a neighbor child who really didn't know anything about Christ. And so, you know, you don't have to be a professionally trained theologian to share your faith in Jesus Christ and to have that make a significant impact in a person's life.
There's a certain kind of hubris that especially, I think, American Christianity engages in, where we think of ourselves as the hub of the mission wheel, and the periphery is all those places where people haven't heard. But has that hub shifted, perhaps, or is it beginning to shift to someplace else in the world where we will be, or our culture, our society, will be, in fact, considered the edge of the mission field?
Well, I think so. I mean, many mission scholars have pointed out that the center of Christianity has moved from the northern to the southern hemisphere. So if you just look at raw statistical numbers and so on, where Christianity is growing and blossoming and burgeoning is south of the equator. So you have the wonderful, faithful Christian global south, and they are entirely enthusiastic about what they believe about Christ, and they also recognize the way in which North America and Europe are becoming paganized cultures. And so I think it won't be very long until there's a much more steady stream of missionaries coming from the global south, whether we're talking about Africa, India, South America, to North America and Europe, to bring the message of Christ and His love for the world to a culture that has, in the main, given it up.
Here's that thing that you call a circular question, and I think the question is actually fascinating, and how one answers the question sometimes reveals something of prejudices or biases when it comes to what the mission of the church actually is, what the church actually is. That circular question, you say, is which gives birth to which? Does the mission give birth to the church or the church to the mission? What's the best answer to that question?
Well, it's a very simple one, it seems to me. The answer is yes. The church gives birth to the mission, and the mission gives birth to the church. It's a continual sort of symbiotic relationship between the Word of God, its creative power, creating the church, and then the church has no choice but to take that Word and continue to deliver it and preach it. So I think once you start to pull apart those strands, you end up with an unfortunate either-or. It's not helpful, and it's finally destructive of both church and mission. So I think it's really important for us to continue to confess faithfully and to act in accordance with that faithful confession, that church and mission are inseparable. And it's a little bit like the chicken and the egg question also, in the sense that where do you get back to the primordial relationship where there's only the church who creates the mission, or where there's only the mission that creates the church? Well, even that's a nonsense kind of question, you know, right away in the first documents we've got, the New Testament, church and mission are together. Even God's own mission to his people, I don't know what you say. Is the church, does the church predate God's mission to Adam and Eve? Perhaps so, because Adam and Eve are God's people and in fellowship with him. And, of course, their great need from the fall then drives God's mission to them when he comes and says, Adam, where are you? So maybe if you get all the way back to the garden, you do get something of an answer, but it's only the answer in that case. From there on out, the answer remains the two belong together. Where the faithful gather, there is God's mission because there is God's word. What causes the faithful to gather together? Well, it's God's mission, which uses God's word.
You asked the question, does our theology inform our practice? And for a long time, speaking in the Lutheran context, Pastor Murray, it has been someone else's theology informing our practice. We have largely borrowed mission practice from people that we believe have been doing it better than us. I think you know what I'm talking about. We've kind of borrowed either a revivalistic or a, what shall we say, a decision theology model of missions from others, which certainly is not our theology. Should it be our practice?
No, because it would be unfaithful. It seems to me the church simply has to be who she is. And I don't know how we're going to competently pull off somebody else's mission paradigm on the without also absorbing the basis for it. It just doesn't seem possible to me. It becomes inauthentic. It may work, I would say, over the short haul, but finally, the impoverishment of our theology by way of a practice that doesn't fit with it ends up sort of leaving us quite dry and desiccated and a bit chapped. And so we're not really able to, in a kind of beautiful, winsome, faithful way, deliver a wonderful theology in a faithful kind of practice. Now, there may be a fair amount of variation possible in that practice, but the question always has to be, you know, does our practice fit our theology? And that also, by the way, is a bit of a constant dialogue. Practice, theology, practice, they all go together with each other, and you just have to be quite intentional about that, because then you'll end. I mean, finally, you can end up with old Adam's practice, because that's actually the easiest practice of all.
Dr. Scott Murray is our guest. We're talking about the church and its mission. It's Wednesday afternoon, April the 9th. He's pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, fourth vice president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, and he's authored an article in a new journal on Lutheran mission titled Missio Dei. We'll be right back.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Scott Murray is our guest. We're talking about the church and its mission on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 9th. Dr. Murray, I've discussed this with other guests when we've brought up the subject of mission, and I wanted to kind of explore your thoughts on it. I think sometimes we have in a very well-meaning fashion, substituted something that's good for mission. It's a good thing that we've been doing, but it hasn't necessarily been the mission of the church that I'm talking about in particular on what we would call the foreign mission field. And this is really just kind of, I don't know, cynically I'd call it mercy tourism. We send people over there to build something, to help establish medical services. It could be any of these kind of things, to vaccinate, to do all sorts of things that are necessary, that are good, that are merciful, that are helpful. But they're not necessarily the mission of the church, are they?
Not directly, but they're certainly in a first article of the Creed kind of way, the natural outworking of what it means to be people who, following Jesus, who come to serve. In our congregation here, we take groups to Nicaragua to serve the mission, the Lutheran mission there in Nicaragua. And we've mainly, built church buildings, schoolhouses, done medical triage. We've built some parsonages. We've put in electrical systems. We've repainted buildings we built 10 years ago. We've carried concrete block, mixed what they call concrete volcanoes. And the people there are benefited by it in a couple of ways. Number one, just in the physical way, we're able to help them put up a building. Secondly, by way of saying, hey, there are people elsewhere that really care about us. We don't have any idea in our American context about the sense of isolation that these faithful Lutheran communities often feel when they're just these small growing, they're certainly exploding, but they may only be 25 churches in a church body, as is the case in Nicaragua, where I think they've got a few more than 25, but not many. So when we go there, it's really an emotionally positive experience for them. The other part to this, by the way, is the people who go come back with more benefits than they deliver. And it changes their view about life. I've taken my children with me several times to Nicaragua, and even as young teenagers, they came to me and said, Dad, we are never going to look at life in America the same way again, because we see how people manage with so much less than we have. And it changes their view about the significance of doing the mission here as well. They're actually much more motivated to share their faith in Christ here in North America because they see at what cost our friends and brothers and sisters in third world contexts see what cost they're willing to bear for the sake of their Savior and Lord. And so there's a number of benefits to it. I do think you're right to the degree that, in terms of absolute, dollar benefit, I mean, we may be better just to send them the money than to go. But I think there are benefits quite beyond, kind of a cost-benefit ratio in this kind of activity. I don't think it's harmful to say that it's a sort of mission tourism, if you will. as long as we understand that we're going there to get something, not necessarily to give something.
Well, and look, there, I think I should have prefaced my comment by saying there's nothing wrong with acts of mercy. In fact, they're great.
Right.
And there's nothing
right.
wrong with tourism. There's nothing wrong with a little exposure to a culture other than ours to kind of enlighten ourselves about their context and ours. So neither of those things are bad. And
right.
as good as and necessary as those things are, and we hope people continue to do it, it's not an either or. Should we be careful about using the word mission when it comes to the church's context? Should we tie it more closely to the way the mission is done every Sunday morning in Houston, Texas, like an altar, a pulpit, a font? That's how the mission's done there. Isn't that how the mission should be done everywhere?
Well, and indeed, all I can do is talk about my experience with our friends in Nicaragua. Their idea of mission is very much tied to font, pulpit, and altar. You know, their mission gave birth to, over the last, say, 15 years, about 25 or 30 congregations, which, by the way, are also founded simultaneously with schools. That sounds a little bit familiar to us as Missouri Synod Lutherans. Because in many places, especially in the Midwest, the first building that was built by congregations was a schoolhouse, and then only afterwards was a church built. And this was very similar in its inception in Nicaragua as well.
Should we also not so much think about sending people and withdrawing them, which is necessary, but mm-hmm. in time leaving someone behind? That is, or establishing someone there, someone who speaks that language, comes from this place, can then preach and administer the sacraments.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is certainly the way that good and positive missions are going now, where the missionary from America thinks of himself now as a mentor and theological educator for indigenous clergy and lay people. And he doesn't want to be there forever. He wants to be able to educate and let loose on the world the people who are born and raised there, know the culture, know the language and all of its nuances. And, you know, I think it would go forward much more successfully. You know, because it sometimes takes, you know, multiple years for a missionary who's plunked someplace on the ground to figure out what all the cultural and linguistic nuances might be. You know, perhaps you can even learn kind of competently and fluently a language in a year, but you don't get the kind of nuances of culture over that span of time. And so I think that it's quite helpful these days that a great deal of what we're doing in mission is of a theological education kind of process.
Matt Harrison, the president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, has a story he likes to tell, and I'm sure, Dr. Murray, that you've heard it many times. To kind of make the point, what you've just been saying, he says, I don't know the particulars, but he says, you know, there's a place in the world where we had a deaconess operating for some years, and she was doing great mercy work among the street girls in an urban setting. And then she was withdrawn for whatever reason or other. And now there's not really a detectable Lutheran congregational presence where she was. No fault of her own. She was given a task to do there.
Right, right.
And elsewhere, not far away, a partner Lutheran church body actually was planting churches, I think upward of a dozen churches. Mm-hmm. What does the contrast there in that story tell you?
Well, you know, again, mission and church go together. One feeds on the other. And again, as you say, as laudable as human care work is, it's not precisely carrying out the mission of establishing the church and delivering the gifts of God from pulpit, altar, and font. I do like the model that is now being very much put into practice, especially in Latin America, but I think it's going to be used elsewhere, where we put mercy and word together and where people are put into mission also in community. So we don't leave a pastor or a deaconess or an ESL teacher or a relief worker by him or herself in the field, but we get them to live in community together to support each other, both, you know, going both directions. In other words, that the mercy work supports the gospel proclamation, and the gospelers make sure that the mercy work is driving forward on the basis of a clarity about who Christ is and what he does. And in fact, you know, in Nicaragua, when we go there and do sort of a medical triage experience with the people in the community, the pastors spend the whole day standing along the line of people waiting to be seen. And they're spending the whole time talking about their church with people, explaining why people ought to come back for service on Sunday, you know, and why these Americans are motivated to come here and help the community. Well, it's because of Jesus and so on. So they're very, and we didn't actually ask them to do this. We noticed that they were doing that the first time we did a medical mission in Nicaragua in connection with the building project and several other things. So, you know, it's been kind of fun seeing their Christian maturity and their understanding that, now this is an opportunity to tell people about the mission of our church so that they would join our community and have the same gifts that we do.
Finally, you write this, and I find it fascinating, just a brief explanation, if you would. You say, doing the mission and talking about doing the mission and then talking about the mission are very different things. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think we can fall into the error that we think we've done it by talking about it, and that may not necessarily be the case. You know, I mean, this paper was actually delivered at a mission conference where there were, I don't know, a couple of hundred folks there. So the point here is that we can't walk out of that hall and say, well, we've talked about mission, now we're done. Well, no, we haven't even started. We've begun to think about something, but thinking about it isn't doing it. So practice and theology, again, do have to go together. You know, what we believe certainly drives us to do certain things, and it may well be a legitimate question. Do we really believe it if, in fact, we can't share it or deliver it, you know, in accordance with the divine command to bring the whole world into the community of the church?
Dr. Scott Murray is pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. He is fourth vice president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, and he's authored an article in a new Journal of Lutheran Mission. His article is titled Missio Dei. You can find out more about the Journal of Lutheran Mission at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Murray, thank you very much for your time. Keep up the good work.
Well, you're very kind, Todd, and I would say the same to you. It's always a pleasure to chat.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Angus Manoj. We've kind of touched upon this a little bit in a previous conversation today, the so-called problem of evil. When we're presented with the dilemma that a all-powerful, all-loving God could not possibly be allowing the evil in the world that is manifest around us, there are conclusions that people draw. They draw the conclusion that God is either not all-powerful, or not all loving, or maybe, and here's the one that we'll address, maybe he doesn't exist at all. That's called the problem of evil. Now, is the response to come to God's defense, to say, well, let's defend God in the fact that he must be all powerful, he must be all loving, and yet he still permits evil? Is there a better explanation? No, not an explanation. Is there a better answer to the problem of evil than simply trying to explain why God does what he most obviously does? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break. Dr. Angus Manoj will join us, professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. We'll be talking the problem of evil on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 9th, right after this break.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues, et cetera, as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues, et cetera, is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at OurSaviorsPacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado, Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden. Egypt.
France. Turkey.
Japan. Australia.
Canada. United Kingdom. Hong Kong.
Austria. Finland. Malaysia.
Singapore. Bulgaria.
Korea. Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
We now have 7 Spanish language transcripts of Issues Etc. that you can download for free.
Ahora tenemos 7 transcripciones en español de Issues Etc. que se puede descargar gratis.
These broadcast transcripts cover the 6 chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism and include a teaching on why do bad things happen.
Estas transcripciones cubren las 6 partes principales del Catecismo Pequeño de Lutero e incluyen una enseñanza que se llama ¿Por qué pasan las malas cosas?
Guests include Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, and Carl Fickenscher.
Los invitados incluyen Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, y Carl Fickenscher.
You can download and print these Spanish transcripts for free. Just go to issuesetc.org and click Publications.
Se puede descargar e imprimir estas transcripciones en español gratis. Solo vaya a issuesetc.org y haz clic en publicaciones.